Thank you. Our first speaker tonight is Steve.
My name's Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing? And what a privilege it is to share at the 26th anniversary of Road to Recovery, my home group for nearly 10 years, and the teaching and practice of the 12 steps for a strong sponsor, a home group. And what a life, John. I mean, I'm just sat here thinking about it. If it wasn't for the 12-step program, at the age of 39 and going through the 12-step program, I would have been dead by the age of 40. And this year, I'm nearly 50, do you know what I mean? And, you know, the journey, do you know what I mean? Sometimes the highs and the lows, but just following the structure of the 12-step program, do you know what I mean? Having a sponsor that give his time up to take me through it the way it is lined up in the big book, you know? And unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? If you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, hold on to your socks, as people say. Do you know what I mean? Just do what your sponsor asks. You know, go through the 12-step program, work with other alcoholics, and your life would be easy. Do you know what I mean? Even in difficult times, do you know what I mean? It would be a breeze. Do you know what I mean? You'll get through stuff that you would never have thought you would have got through. Do you know what I mean? I've got through some times where, you know, bereavements in the family, do you know what I mean? But I've just stuck to the structure of the 12-step program and the Just for the Day card and the gratitude list. Just kept going, do you know what I mean? Just digging in deep, do you know what I mean? When hard times come, I just dug in, like, you know? And I'm absolutely loving my life, do you know what I mean? I'm loving my life. And I'm sat down here in Pillaton in Cornwall. I've got my missus in the other room watching telly, you know what I mean? I've got a nice view of the fields where I live. And that's just not possible for an alcoholic like me. You know, 10 years ago I was on Motley Plain dying of alcoholism in the doorways with pigeons doing stuff on me. Do you know what I mean? And I woke up in the morning, that desire to drink just hit me again. Do you know what I mean? I walked down Motley Plain and I could see the co-op doors opening and shutting, and I knew it wasn't a good idea. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't brought up to steal, but that physical allergy, that craving, that mental obsession. And I would look in there and I could see the light shining down on the cans of lager. And I crossed the threshold and I'd just be grating my teeth, you know, and I'd grab these crates of Stella and I'd put them in a bag and swing them over my shoulder, walk along into the newspaper aisle. And I'd look at the newspaper, I'd read the Evening Herald, the first line, think I was intelligent and my life was going the right way. And I walk out and that start that cycle again. Do you know what I mean? That obsession of drink and that pull of the ring pull on that can or that twist of the bottle, like Wayne probably always says, I would drink to oblivion and I'd wake up and it'd start again and again. And I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been in AA, do you know what I mean? But I didn't take it seriously. You know, you people were talking a language which was shining on me, do you know what I mean? And I just wasn't going to grasp it for that period of time, do you know what I mean? I hit my rock bottom at the age of 39. I lost the wife, the children, the business, you know, and I was a unwanted hanger-on. It describes it in the book, but, you know, I was hanging around with people that I wouldn't really want to mix with ever again, like, you know, and on park benches, and I wake up, and, you know what I mean? And that feeling of usefulness had gone, you know what I mean? That ill at ease, that feeling little around life. I remember seeing some ants walking along a back lane one day on these cobbles, and they had a better direction than I've ever had. Do you know what I mean? They were following each other to somewhere, but they had direction, you know? And when I come into AA, I needed a director, and I needed a sponsor. I asked Dave Kay, and I thank you for sponsoring me for nearly 10 years. And he took me through the first three steps. Do you know what I mean? Step one, I was powerless. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, I could tell you that from where I come from. And that's step three prayer. You know, I remember something changed in me when I'd done it. Do you know what I mean? I could see a new light. I could see a way out that I'd never thought about. And I felt this higher power tapping into my life at that period of time. And it's gone and come back, you know, and it's got stronger. And it's sometimes deflated, but it's always been there. Do you know what I mean? The principles that have been laid out, the foundation is in place. You know, the keystone to my recovery was through my home group. And I've loved it. Do you know what I mean? I've absolutely embraced it, and I've loved it. You know what I mean? And I've just kept chipping away at it. Do you know what I mean? Whatever's happened in my life, I just kept chipping away the same stuff. You know, getting on my knees and asking God for a sober day in the morning, reading the gratitude list, you know what I mean, the big book, going off to do work or whatever it is, do you know what I mean? Coming home, phoning newcomers, going to other meetings, carrying the message, a strong message that's always been given to me. I don't want a watered down and, you know, crap way of living. Do you know what I mean? I just want to be alive. Do you know what I mean? It's not just about staying sober, it's about living sober. Do you know what I mean? I want to live. Do you know what I mean? I ain't hanging on to this bed now, white knuckling it, thinking all the off licenses are shut. Do you know what I mean? I ain't got a problem around alcohol. It doesn't bother me in any shape or form. Do you know what I mean? I'll go off to my missus for meals and that. I don't sit there dribbling at the bar when I see people having a swift one. Do you know what I mean? The problem's been removed to a degree where Jamie T always talks about it. It's like it never happened. Do you know what I mean? I feel electric around this program. Do you know what I mean? I feel tapped into some sort of thing that just made me the person I am today. Do you know what I mean? But it's through the 12-step program, strong sponsorship, and just keep tapping away at it. Like, do you know what I mean? Just keep chipping away, tapping away at it. And what a thing, do you know what I mean? And the home group has always been in my life. Do you know what I mean? When I've missed a meeting for occasions, do you know what I mean? I've always sat there thinking about it. Do you know what I mean? You know, we're all running in the right direction. Do you know what I mean? We're all rowing in the same direction. Do you know what I mean? If you're new in AA, and it's lovely to see the visitors from all around the world, you know, 100 people. Like it spoke about, the first 100 people in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, like now, it's the first people, the first 100 people in this room tonight, like, you know. And how the hell we all squeezed into this bedroom, I don't know. But what a thing, do you know what I mean? It's a privilege to be asked to be the first speaker at the 26th anniversary of my home group, Road to Recovery. And I'm probably just setting on, I'm just setting the fire light. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm setting the fire light like for the rest of you to follow, like, you know. And you know, I thank you for that. I've been asked, like, you know. And I've got great friends in AA. I've got great friends in my home group, but I need a higher power. My sponsors led me in the right direction, but I needed a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. And I need to keep tapping into that power. Do you know what I mean? I need to keep tapping into that power on a daily basis and growing in sort of spirituality, whatever that is, you know what I mean? And, you know, I can't see my kids at the moment. They're 150 miles away, but it's just a phase. Do you know what I mean? It's just a phase in my development. And I'm chuffed to be here. Do you know what I mean? I'm chuffed to be here and celebrating this time. Do you know what I mean? Celebrating the 26 years of my home group, which I've been in for 10, and the dramatic change of my life in that 10 years. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. I have to pull my socks up just thinking about it. Do you know what I mean? I have to pull my socks up, and I just keep doing the same directions. You know what I mean? Day after day, week after week, year after year, because I don't want to drink again. Do you know what I mean? And if I keep doing this, I ain't talked about me drinking much. You know what I mean? Because that's irrelevant. It's the structure and discipline of the 12-step program, with a sponsor and a home group, and just keep doing this stuff. That's it, in a nutshell. There's nothing else, there's nothing more. It's just doing the same stuff, and I'm a happy customer, you know what I mean? And well, I don't know what else to say, do you know what I mean? This is so amazing to an alcoholic like me. It's like gold, do you know what I mean? You know, we have to mine this stuff for a lifetime, but we give the proceeds away, do you know what I mean? We give this message to other alcoholics, and they continue to recover like we have, you know, and they sponsor people and they recover and the fellowship grows, you know what I mean? The worldwide web of Alcoholics Anonymous grows, you know what I mean? And people are pulled back from the gates of insanity and death, do you know what I mean? To be kindled back in their families, you know what I mean? And that's the way it is, do you know what I mean? But I've got to keep doing it. Do you know what I mean? I can't be complacent because it's cunning, baffling and powerful, and it'll take me back. It'll take me back quickly. And I've seen it happen. Do you know what I mean? But I ain't here to do that. Do you know what I mean? I'm here to just keep punching forward and just enjoy the life I've got. And that's what I do. Do you know what I mean? I absolutely thrive on life. Do you know what I mean? The sun's shining, the sky's blue. I should be drunk and so should you. But we ain't. And it's a miracle, and I'm happy. I'm happy. Do you know what I mean? I'm sat here and I'm beaming with this. I'm beaming with it, like, you know. And how long have I got left, Wayne?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. I can sort of wrap this up in 20 seconds. So if you're sat there now and you ain't doing this stuff, then do it. Get yourself a sponsor. Get yourself a big book. Go through the 12-step program and you'll have an amazing life. And everybody that's going to share after me, I'll be saying the same thing, hopefully. And I'll leave it there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Our second speaker is Sally.
Thank you, Wayne. I'm Sally. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sally.
Like Steve just said, what a great privilege to be sharing on the 26th anniversary of Road to Recovery. So happy 26th anniversary. It is an absolute privilege to be here. If you're new, I'll share my experience, my strength and hope. And if you're visiting, welcome. I started drinking when I was a teenager and I absolutely loved the effect that alcohol gave me, and it continued like that until consequences started, and I really believe that I need to stop this. Bad things have started to happen. And I went to a meeting in Truro about, must have been nearly 30 years ago now, and there was this lady sharing there that her life had become totally unmanageable, that she had to go into a treatment centre. She lost her children, her home, her job, everything that this woman believed in and worked hard for, she lost. And I'm sat in this meeting thinking, oh, you know, well, I thought, poor cow, you know, she's really an alcoholic. And I still had my home. I still had my job. I still had my children. So I carried on drinking, quite relieved to come out of that meeting thinking, you know, I'm okay. 5 years later, I become that woman, and I lost everything that was dear to me. And it was suggested that I come to Plymouth to go into rehab, which I did, which I hated. And they introduced me to meetings when I was in this treatment centre. When I left, my counsellor said to me, Sally, she said, go out there. She said, don't sell yourself short. She said, go to meetings, grow a plant, and do what I need to do. And she also said that I want you to be one of my examples. That was pressure in itself. But as soon as I come out of there, I went to Asda and I brought a plant, the biggest plant that Asda sold, because I needed to get this plant. She told me to grow one, but I couldn't wait, and I was still in the madness. I went to meetings, but I had to go to a meeting to find myself a husband, because that's what was wrong in my life. I'd had a bad marriage, you know, self-centered to the core. I used to wake up from my drinking with a hangover, and my first thought was about Sally, and that's just how I live my life. You know, Sally's feeling bad, I need to fix it. So I just fixed it. Every time I felt bad, I fixed it on something. If it wasn't alcohol, it was something. And I got married in recovery, and I got divorced in recovery, but I also had a baby in recovery. I say recovery, I was a dry drunk. And God works in mysterious ways, you know. My daughter was Road to Recovery, and I was going to other meetings. And she was changing in front of my eyes. In a matter of weeks, she'd gone from a stroppy, rebel, horrible, drunken teenager to this beautiful young woman with responsibilities, who took responsibilities in a matter of weeks. And I said to her, well, what are you doing that I'm not doing? And she said, Mum, you need to work through the steps. You need to get a big book. You need to get a sponsor. Well, I did have a sponsor at the time, but my sponsor would say, oh, darling, get yourself lipstick. You've worked so hard, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't getting me well. I was like Steve just shared, I was holding on for dear life. I couldn't do it. And then thank God I got to that place and I become a roadie. I worked through the steps. shared honestly with my sponsor, and my life turned around, completely turned around. It didn't take too long. I believed that Alcoholics Anonymous wasn't going to work for me because I didn't believe in God. Today, I believe in God. I believe that God was out there all the time when I was drunk, saving me from things, you know, places, people, situations I got myself in where I could have died. God was picking me up all the time. I didn't know that at the time. I believed there was no God. If there was a God, why would I feel so bad? And it was completely all about me when I was drinking. Today, you know, I do God's work the best I can to serve people, to serve my God, and to, you know, to help other people. And I can't believe, you know, that these words come out of my mouth, because I really did not believe. You know, when I come into Alcoholics Anonymous and saw the word God, you know, it wasn't going to work for me. And I believed it was a tall order, but it's been shown to me that, you know, you take these simple actions. It was the last thing I tried and the first thing that worked, the first thing that kept me, so, you know, give me a lifelong sobriety. I don't have to think about drink. And my home group, the Road to Recovery Plymouth, it is my life. And, you know, that might sound airy-fairy, but actually it is my life, because my daughter's in that home group. My son-in-law's in that home group. A father of one of my grandchildren is in that home group. My best friends are in that home group. And if I never had, you know, my home group, my life would be zero. You know, and I don't say that lightly. So I think, you know, if you knew, my experience was I wasted so much time, and you don't have to do that. You know, it's quite simple. Just get a sponsor and take directions. Just follow the leader. It's not, you know, it's not that, it's not a tall order, and one step gets you ready for the other step. And the other thing is service. I was really lazy when I first come in. No, sweep the steps, pick up dog ends. You're joking. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a tall order, really. It got me ready for the next service. And it's just simple. It's, I think for myself, I made it complicated, and I would like to argue. But, you know, I don't think I'm like that anymore today. You know, I just, yes, sir, no, sir. I need to do as I'm told to get this fantastic life I've got. And from where I've come from to where I am now, you know, I'm far, far removed from that person. I've got a fantastic life. I've got a fantastic family. And it's not a result of anything that I've done, because Sally's incapable. Sally's always about herself. And, you know, I'm not that person today. And that's not my doing. That really is not my doing. So if you knew, you know, like I just said, get yourself a big book. Get yourself a sponsor. He'll take you, or she'll take you through the steps. I say he. I had bad issues with women for a long, long time, because of my past, my childhood and stuff. I couldn't take direction from a woman. Scary Mary used to sponsor me, and she gave me a suggestion, and I gave her one back. And I had to get a man sponsor, because I just couldn't be sponsored by a woman. But I could today. You know, all that has changed, and that's the result of my home group and trusting in women again. And, you know, all these things that I believed that wouldn't work for me, or things that never even occurred to me, you know, has all happened as a result of being in my home group, you know, and just toeing the line, doing as I'm told. I'm doing things in my home group now that I would never, ever, ever imagined I would do, and it's just absolutely blown me away. I think I've shined more in the last 12 months than I ever have in my life. You know, and I'm not that far off my pension now. And it's just, you know, oh, my God, I am Sally and I'm an alcoholic. And I say that with pride, because, you know, if I was a diabetic and just had to take my insulin to get better, that's all I'd have to do. I'm an alcoholic, so I need to come here to get what I need. And, you know, it's not that difficult. And it seems quite weird sat in my front room doing this, like talking to my walls. But that's okay. It's like, you know, how blessed are we 100 people tonight, like Steve said, you know, from all over the place, and we can, you know, work that triangle in that circle. You know, it's just absolutely amazing, you know, what we can achieve from you know, where I was to where I am in my life today. The two people just do not meet up. I mean, they're so far apart. You know, and I can be useful to my family, useful to other people, which Sally never used to be like that. I just used to be me, you know, and it used to start from that hangover in the morning. I wouldn't think about what I did. Oh my God, it would just be, like I said in the beginning, all about me, and I've just had to be
thank you, Sally.
Nice one, GSR.
Okay, our final speaker is Bob D.
Hi, Wayne. I'm Bob D, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bob.
It's good to see you. Some of you roadies. Last time I saw quite a few. Some of you were in dresses and very cute. Very, very cute. It's good to be here. A lot of friends on the screen that I don't get to see that often. A few that I see in my home group. I got a couple people that I see pretty regular here. Got a bunch of texts from people that couldn't get on, which is, it's a sad thing when you have to turn people away, but it happens. We have a conference in Vegas every December where it's limited to 1,100 people, and we have to turn away a lot of people. And it's kind of a sad thing, but it is what it is. I'm sober only through the grace of a God that I was afraid to believe in, that I've accessed through a process outlined in a book entitled Alcoholics Anonymous, the ability to remain sponsorable and a persistent and consistent effort in our primary purpose of trying to forget ourselves and help other alcoholics. And consequently, I haven't had a drink or any mind or emotional medication since October 31st, 1978. And that, at times, is hard to believe. I have a sponsor who knows he's my sponsor, and if you have a sponsor who's not sure they're your sponsor, they're probably not. I have a home group, and the members of that group know that it's my home group. And it's kind of sad right now for us. We have some Zoom meetings, but there was a connectedness in our group that was just amazing. We'd do a dozen or so hospital institution meetings every week. We had four open meetings, and people were excited to go and excited to be a part of, because there was a spirit there. And I think it's the spirit they talk about in the second tradition, that through the consciousness of a group, the ultimate authority, this loving God, expresses himself. And you can feel it in a room of an enthusiastic group, a recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not all AA meetings, you'll feel that spirit. I've been to some meetings, by the end of the meeting, I think, my God, I need a meeting. But in a really good recovery meeting, it lights you up. It touches something that needs to be touched inside of me. I'm delighted to see some of you guys. I got alcoholism. I got a really bad case. It almost killed me. Matter of fact, in 1978, I did try to take my own life. And that was an accumulation of 7 years from the time I was probably 19 to 20, right around before I turned 20. I think 7 years of treatment centers, 7 years of some of the greatest psychiatrists, 7 years of medication, 7 years of doing everything that I could do to fix one of two ends of an equation that was unbalanced and it was killing me. The one end of the equation, if I could have fixed it, I would have been fine. I would have been good with it. And that was the drinking part of the equation. But drinking somehow, even though at one time it was so magical and it set me free and allowed me to feel like I fit and come out and play and Oh my God, I love the effect produced by alcohol. Even though at one time it did that, at the last couple years I drank it, it turned on me somehow. And now I drank in depression. I drank in horrible, horrible feelings of loneliness. That sometimes at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, I'd be driven to call up people I went to grade school with or ex-girlfriends. I remember I called this ex-girlfriend one night. It went early in the morning, probably 4:30 a.m. And the minute she answers the phone and I hear her voice, I'm so lonely and so pathetic. I just started crying into the phone saying, we should have got married. And then her husband gets on the phone and threatens me, you know. And this is not a party. This is pathetic. And I tried mixing other substances in the mix. I tried macrobiotics. I tried so many things, vitamins, all kinds of stuff, trying to somehow fix the drinking end of the equation, to roll it back to when I was in my, like, 20 years old, when it just lit me up and set me free. And one of the things that brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous was my failure to roll it back and to fix the drinking part. And then there's another part of the equation that was what was really killing me. And I think for chronic alcoholics, the type of alcoholic the Big Book was written for, this is what kills alcoholics of my type, is that I have this abnormal reaction to abstinence. And it's not just, I know by this time I have this abnormal reaction to drinking. I always go too far. When I start, I can't stop. I have that allergy. But this abnormal reaction to abstinence is baffling to me, because it doesn't look like alcoholism. But I didn't know that alcoholism doesn't stop when the bottle stops. It runs up and chases you up into your abstinence like a pack of rabid dogs. And you know what happens? It happens to all of us over time. You know, Silkworth says it best. He says we're restless, we're irritable, we're discontented. The bedevilments in the book, I suffer from low-level depression, sometimes not so low-level. I feelings of grandiosity coupled with tremendously horrible low self-esteem. And one of the reasons that it was hard for me to change my life and join AA, as I fit the old adage that you can always tell an alcoholic, you just can't tell him much. And I'm so full of myself and so judgmental. And I had no idea that my alcoholism was killing me, and it was the most defended mechanism in the universe. You couldn't tell me anything. You can't help me. I mean, in my head, I think you're stupid. It's kind of a pathetic situation to end up in a detox or the county jail or somewhere where it's horrible, and you've burnt your life to the ground, and you're the most pathetic, pitiful person you know. You hate yourself, and yet you're in a room full of people, and you know you're the smartest guy in there. And consequently, I'm too full of me to get help from you. In 1978, I tried to commit suicide. I'd been relapsing for about 7 years, and it was horrible. It got the progression of the disease is a terrible thing. And I got to a point of such anguish and such hopelessness because there was no more relief in the bag and the bottle anymore. There was nowhere to turn. I was stuck up inside of me with horrible emotions and thoughts and remorse and shame and all of that. And I couldn't get free. And alcohol at one time set me free, and it doesn't set me free anymore. And drinking has become horrible. And sobriety is equally horrible. Abstinence feels like I'm doing time. I'm not good sober. And now I don't understand why I'm not good drunk either. And it's a sad, cold day when you wake up to a bitter truth that the only thing that made life, you're able to live it, that gave you hope to go on, doesn't even work anymore. And when the bottle turned on me, it was a bleak thing. And that's what drove me to trying to commit suicide in 1978. It wasn't the consequences, and they were severe. I was in that trap you can't spring, where drinking is horrible and not drinking is horrible. And I've tried every human power. I was in therapy with some of the rock stars of psychiatry.